Lord, how many times should I forgive my neighbor if he offends against me? Up to seven times? No, up to seven times, 70 times. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, I imagine you've all had your arithmetic class already today. And I suppose that some of you like arithmetic and others of you don't like it so much, or maybe it doesn't like you, and that's a little bit of a harder subject. Every now and again at Mass, we have a mathematic Mass. Not that the Mass is about teaching, because the Mass is about offering a perfect sacrifice to God the Father of love and thanksgiving and adoration and praying for things and for people. But the Church always has a lesson or two for us in our Masses, especially during Lent. And the lesson today does indeed happen to be a sort of an arithmetic lesson. We're going from 1 to 490 to infinity. In the gospel, we have these numbers, you see. Our Lord says, if somebody has offended you, just you and that other person, you talk about it. So that's one-on-one, isn't it? And then, if it's a real problem and you can't solve it, the two of you, then you could have a couple of other people to come, one or two others, as witnesses. And then, finally, if there's a real problem, you can get the whole Church involved, and maybe everybody could help you to solve your problem. Then when it comes to praying for things, that's one of the reasons why we say, pray for me. Or someone says, well, I'll say a prayer for you. Because our Lord in today's Gospel says that if two people agree on anything, it will be granted to them in prayer. So never pray for anything by yourself. You don't have to tell the other person what it is, but you could say, could you say a prayer for me? Or I promise that I'll say a prayer for you today for your intentions, because it makes it ever so more likely to be heard by God if we pray not by ourselves, but with someone else. And of course, when we come to church, we're all praying together. When we pray the rosary or stations or things like that, we're all praying together, and how powerful that prayer becomes. And then on the other hand, even though there's just two people, it's a powerful prayer. So our Lord says, even if it's just two or three of you gathered together, look, he says, I'm right there in the middle of you, in the midst of you. Our Lord promises. So we must never be discouraged if there's a small amount of people that come to some kind of a church service, because our Lord says even if two or three are there, and that's the same thing when you're praying at home or with your family, it can be very powerful. So our Lord is giving us our numbers, isn't he? Now we get to the mathematic part of do you know your multiplication tables? I'm sure you do as good children, and you probably review them regularly. Well, now we come to the multiplication part. The Jews forgave people three times, and we still say that today. We say three strikes and you're out. After the third time, I won't forgive you anymore. Well, of course, that didn't please our Lord, because our Lord forgives us all the time, and he never counts how many times each. So St. Peter, who thought he was understanding our Lord and thought he was being very generous, said to our Lord, Lord, how many times should we forgive people when they offend us, when they hurt us? Should we forgive them up to, he thought of a big number, up to seven times? Because what would that be? That would be twice three, and an extra one time for good measure. And our Lord says, no, Peter, not up to seven times, but seven times 70. What's seven times 70? 490. I figured it out before the sermon. 490 times. That's a lot of forgiving. But does that mean that you should keep count? And say, Mark, okay, this is your 54th time of being forgiven. You've still got some time left, but don't stretch it. No, we're not supposed to count any more than God counts. And an example of that kind of not counting, and how merciful our Lord is towards us and forgiving, we have in the epistle, which is a story of a miracle of a woman that used to take care of one of God's prophets, and his name was Eliseus, and he was from Mount Carmel too. And he used to have a little room in this lady's house with her and her family. And he had a little bed and a little chair, and she fixed meals for him whenever he passed through town. Well, the husband died, and there were a lot of debts, and there wasn't any way to pay the bills. And so back then, what they would do is they would take anything you had, including your children, and they would make your children slaves, and you had to work to pay off the debt. And that would be a terrible thing. So the woman, knowing that God's prophet was powerful with his prayers, told the story to this prophet the next time he came in town to stay with them. And he said, well, what do you want me to do? And then he just was saying that, but then he knew what God wanted him to say. So he said, what do you have in your house? Do you have anything that's worth anything? And she says, well, I have some oil. And back then, as today, people would use oil, and like if you burned your skin, or if you had a rash, or maybe if you cut yourself, or if it was really dry, it's dry during the winter. And she said, I just have a little oil that I use to anoint myself with. Well, he said, get all of the vessels, which means like pots and pans and bottles and jars that you have, and then go to your neighbors and borrow all of theirs. Get as many as you can. And when you get everything together, shut the door, because often God works in silence and in quiet. God doesn't like people to know everything that goes on. Shut the door and then start pouring out the oil, and you'll see what happens. So she obeyed. You always have to obey when God's prophet tells you what to do. So she obeyed. She started pouring, and she kept on pouring. It was just a little oil, and she filled pots and pans and jars and bottles of all description, and the oil didn't run out until she ran out of vessels to place it in. That's a symbol of God's forgiveness, children. That's a symbol of his grace and his mercy. We're the only one that puts a limit on that, because as far as God is concerned, he keeps on giving. For us, you might say it's a little bit like all of the water in the ocean. There's just so much. So too must we be towards our neighbor. You're not supposed to count. You're supposed to be generous. Last numbers come from the saints whom we commemorate today, and they are very important number saints. What's our Lenten number? Do you remember? 40. 40 is a Lenten number. Remember, that's the time of trial or of test or of waiting in the Bible. Remember how it rained for 40 days and 40 nights? Remember how Moses was on the mountain fasting and praying for 40 days when he got the Ten Commandments? Do you remember how Elias, who was the first prophet of Mount Carmel, he fasted for 40 days too? And how they appeared in glory with our Lord on Mount Tabor at the miracle of the Transfiguration? 40 is the number of fasting or penance days in our Lent, isn't it? Starts Ash Wednesday and it ends on Holy Saturday at noon. That's our Lent, 40. The church counts. Well, the story is this, that there were 40 soldiers, and they were Christians, and they were in the Roman army, and they were in Armenia, and it was a cold, cold winter. And they were told, right, you have to worship the emperor. And they said, oh, we're sorry, we can't, on account of, because we're Christians. We only worship our Lord. We won't worship your emperor. And so the leader said, oh, is that so? Well, we'll see about that. So he put them all out on the lake, and they didn't have any coats or cloaks or even their shirts, I don't think. And they were all out on a frozen lake all night long, and there was a terrible wind whipping up. And they were starting to freeze to death. But they wouldn't commit a mortal sin. They wouldn't worship false gods. No, they wouldn't. And there were 40 of them, and they were praying all the time together. Well, one of them got weak. And this is what happened. as they were praying, they saw angels coming down from heaven, and one of them was, the angels were carrying crowns, you know, like a crown for each one, and one of them counted the crowns, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he's counted only 39 crowns and not 40. So he says to his neighbor, "Here, you count." And he looked up in the sky and he said, "Sure enough, there's only 39. And they were starting to worry, to think, "Wait a minute, there's 40 of us. How come there's only 39 crowns?" And just then, one of the soldiers grew very weak and he gave way to temptation. And he said, "I'm too cold. I'm going to go worship the idols. I don't care." And so he went on shore. And there they had the wicked pagans, they had a nice warm tub of water prepared, a bath that you could, he said, you can climb right in there and warm yourself up. So he apostatized, that's what that's called. He gave up the faith. So then the 39 who are left said, they all prayed, "Dear Lord, send another angel with one more crown, would you? Because we're 40, and we know that's a very holy number in the Catholic Church, and we want to stay 40. So then, they were all praying and offering their sacrifices and being cold and not complaining, when all of a sudden, one of the soldiers on shore, who was a pagan, was very inspired by what they did, and he said, "I'm a Christian too." Only he hadn't been baptized, and he couldn't be baptized because the water was all frozen because it was outside in the winter. And what's that called? Baptism of blood. There's baptism of desire and baptism of blood. Well, this is baptism of blood. He's a good example of that. And he came out, and he joined the others, and he was a 40th martyr, and all 40 received their crown. There was something similar that happened when these wicked Mohammedans I was telling you about on Sunday, children, when they, last month, they got together some Christians from Egypt, and they said to them, there were 20 of them, and they said, "Right, now you have to worship our God, and you have to give up Jesus Christ and become a Mohammedan." And they said, "No, we won't. We won't do that. That would be a mortal sin." And they said, "Well, if you don't, we'll chop your heads off." And they said, "Well, we're not going to give up our Lord." So they were all lined up, and they got all beheaded, except there was one extra one who joined them at the last minute, just like in today's story. It's very interesting. And he was an African, a black African, from Chad, the country of Chad. He wasn't an Egyptian. Egyptians are a different race. But he was so impressed by what all of these men were going to suffer, because each one, when they were kneeling down, they kept on praying, "Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ." Each one said very devoutly, and he was so impressed that he said, "I'm not going to become a Mohammedan. I'm going to become a Christian." And he was joined to their number, and he was the 21st, and he was executed too, and he died for the Christian faith. It's a very beautiful story. So in other words, these things still happen today. So sometimes, what's the lesson today? Sometimes we count 40, holy number. Let me keep a good Lent, dear Jesus, every day. Keep my promises in every way possible until I get to Easter. And sometimes we don't count when it comes to forgiving others. We just forgive them, and we forget their faults, and we just turn the page, right? And that's how our Lord wants us to be, and that's the math lesson of today's Holy Mass. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.